Cicero was a Roman orator, philosopher. And Cicero said, gratitude is not only the most important virtue, it is the parent of all virtues. Lao Tzu, Chinese philosopher, said, if you look to others for fulfillment, you will never truly be fulfilled. If your happiness depends on money, you will never be happy with yourself. Be content with what you have. Rejoice in the way things are. When you realize there is nothing lacking, the whole world belongs to you. Meister Eckhart said, if the only prayer you ever utter your entire life is thank you, that will suffice. I think you can see where I'm going with this, and that is this topic of gratitude has been advanced by sages and mystics throughout the ages. When we realize the importance of gratitude in our lives, we can open up to even greater good. And the title of my talk today is Accepting Gratitude. And that doesn't mean accepting others' gratitude for things that you may have done. It's accepting gratitude into your life as a practice. It is accepting the active participation of gratitude. Well, thank you all for coming out today. It is a beautiful Alaskan day. I think we're all finally happy. Winter, I think, is here. We've got some snow on the ground. Temperatures are heading back to single digit. And once again, we have winter. What I'm going to talk about today, first of all, I'm going to talk about how modern science supports those mystics and sages of the ages. Then secondly, I'm going to talk about how Ernest Holmes talked about Thanksgiving. And thirdly, I'm going to talk about living gratefully. But first of all, modern science and the studies of gratitude. I was amazed when I started to do research on this. Gratitude reduces stress and helps overcome trauma. A 2003 study in the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology proved that practicing gratitude was the leading factor in resilience following 9/11. A 2006 study in behavior research and therapy, the more gratitude shown reduced the incidence of PTSD in symptoms of Vietnam veterans. A 2004 study in the Journal of Applied Sport Psychology found that gratitude is an essential component to optimal performance. These pro athletes, when they practice gratitude, they can actually enhance their performance. A 2011 study in Applied Psychology, Health and Well-Being found that keeping a gratitude journal and writing about gratitude for 15 minutes before bed allowed people to sleep better and longer. I tried this and it absolutely works. University of Kentucky, a 2012 study found gratitude enhances empathy and reduces aggression. The more people practice gratitude, the less they showed retaliation toward others. A 2012 study published in Personality and Individual Differences found that people who practice gratitude have fewer aches and pains, are more likely to take care of themselves, and are more likely to get an annual checkup. So I went to the health fair yesterday. I have pages of this. A few things I want to point out in some of this. There were less than two dozen scientific studies about the effects of gratitude on physical health coming into the second millennium. By 2011, there were over 150. The surge has to do with developments in the fields of positive psychology and neuropsychoimmunology, and this represents only a fraction of the research being conducted on the emotion-body connection today. Modern science is finally starting to catch up with the things that Holmes taught us 90 years ago. And like I say, this goes on, and the science behind it is really heavy. But the conclusion, and this is to the, one of the things that was done for breast cancer, but I found this so powerful. As the research into the connection between positive emotions and health continues, there is mounting evidence that this connection is real and can possibly save lives. Every positive thought can be a step toward health and a vibrant life. How will you include the power of positive thinking and especially gratitude into your daily healthy breast routine? Secondly, I'm going to talk about Ernest Holmes and Thanksgiving. We teach here that there are five steps in affirmative prayer, or treatment as we call it. And the fourth step of those is called Thanksgiving. Well, Ernest Holmes didn't teach that there were five steps. Ernest Holmes only had three steps. Recognition, and then a step that we call unification. And as Colleen pointed out to me today, earlier today, that's actually changed its name too. It was originally identification. And then realization. The Thanksgiving step was added later on. And as he pointed out, Colleen pointed out in the sacred reading, back in the glossary of the Science of Mind, he talks about that. But he says that the prayer of Thanksgiving is the prayer of appropriation. This was the manner in which Jesus prayed when he raised Lazarus from the tomb. Father, I thank thee. That's how Jesus prayed almost all the time. The first thing that Jesus did was to give thanks for that which he totally expected, that he knew was happening right then and there. And he could do that with total conviction of knowing that that prayer was going to be answered. When we speak the words of thanksgiving to the God within, knowing before they ask, I will answer, there is something in this attitude of thanksgiving that carries us beyond the field of doubt into one of perfect faith and acceptance. This wasn't the only place in the Science of Mind text where Holmes talks about thanksgiving. In the back, Holmes has several talks and he discusses a lot of different Bible quotes. And one that I found really interesting was in Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians. And if you recall from some of the talks we've had before, these letters were to, you know, the purpose of these letters was to unify this new Christian movement. Wasn't Christian at that time. These were all Jews, remember. And this new group of Hebrews who followed a teacher named Jesus. But one of the things that he pointed out there was, in everything, give thanks. That has got to be one of the most quoted Bible verses on the Sunday before Easter, or Sunday before Thanksgiving in the whole country. Every preacher gets up and quotes, in everything give thanks. Holmes explains it this way. An attitude of gratitude is most salutary and bespeaks the realization that we are now in heaven. How we love to do for those who cooperate with and are grateful for our small endeavors. Gratitude is one of the chief graces of human existence, and it is crowned in heaven with a consciousness of unity. In the middle of that, it says, how we love to do for those who cooperate with and are grateful for our small endeavors. Now recognize, that's the God within. That is the indwelling God that loves to do for us when we show that gratitude. We can learn a lot from our youth. there were some boys discussing Thanksgiving and what they were grateful for. One little boy said, I am really grateful that those pilgrims had turkey instead of liver and onions. Now, there's some real wisdom in there. Other little boy, he said, I'm really grateful that those pilgrims came over on the Mayflower instead of the Titanic. Now, the third little boy, he was really enlightened. He was actually talking with God. And he asked God, he says, God, what is a million years to you? And God answered, a million years is but a second. He says, wow, God, what is $1 million to you? God answered, it is but a penny. Little boy thought for a minute and he says, God, can I have a penny? God answered, sure, just a second. It's a story of a man who passed away, very, very poor. He was an impoverished man. He had virtually no possessions or very, very limited possessions. And when his relatives went to this tiny, almost bare apartment that he had to dispose of what few possessions he had, they found an old painting and a few other things, and they sold this painting on eBay for very, very little. And the person who bought the painting, I think, probably bought it more for the frame than anything else. But when he got it home, he got to looking at it and he started wondering. So he took this painting to an art dealer who checked this painting out and discovered that it had been painted in the 1800s by a famous master. And this painting sold at auction for over $3 million. That man didn't even know what he had to be thankful for. He didn't even know what to express gratitude for. And sometimes we're a lot like that. We have been given gifts, and we don't even know to be grateful for them. Every one of us has been painted by the master. And if we go around thinking, oh, I'm just average, I'll never kick that addiction, I'm never going to get that promotion, then we're just like that man with the painting. We're full of potential, but we don't recognize it or accept it. We fail to tap into it. We've been doing these strength assessments and classes. Some of us have been doing it. And if anybody wants to know more about that, you can see me afterwards. I'll be here during the dinner and stuff. But what an opportunity to look within us and see what some of those hidden gifts are. A lady by the name of Roberta Messner in Huntington, West Virginia, tells a compelling story. She bought an antique log home many, many years ago. And at first it was just almost an idyllic situation. She had wonderful neighbors. Everybody got along really, really well. She'd have the ladies over for tea on her porch, and they exchanged Christmas cookies, and they were a really close-knit community. But as time wore on, some people moved away, some passed away, and things changed, and new neighbors came in, and it just didn't have the same feel. And when her mom passed away and the funeral director happened to park in front of the neighbor's driveway for just a short period of time, this was just a few moments, she got a complaint from the neighbor about the car blocking her driveway. But the worst thing of all was the brick house directly across the street from her. It was a man and two teenage sons. and they like to work on their cars. And at 11 o'clock at night, she'd hear, bang, 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 hey, throw me a wrench. You know, and then vroom, 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 as they're racing the engines and testing their work on the cars. And she called them the noisy men. And she couldn't stand the noisy men. She was a nurse and had to work some long, difficult hours. And she just lay down to sleep. And just about that time, vroom, vroom, next door. One night in winter, she came home. It was a blizzard outside. She was thankful that she finally got to her house. As she pulled into the driveway, you know, into the cul-de-sac, the neighborhood she came into, you know, all the lights were out, everything was done except the house, the brick house right across the street. And she could see the blue television light going in there. And she said, yeah, that's those night owls. They'll probably be. At least it's cold. They won't be out racing their engines and banging on their cars all night. I'll get some sleep. She opened the door to her house and turned on the light and stepped back. Her washroom was flooded. She had almost a foot of water in her washroom. And her wastebasket was bobbing up and down like a boat on the ocean. And the water was rising and was headed for the second floor where she had some very, very valuable antiques and her baby grand piano. And she was filled. You know, oh my God, what am I going to do? She ran and she immediately started dialing like a madwoman. She called her handyman. He answered on the fifth ring and he says, I'm sorry, Roberta, I can't possibly make it over there until tomorrow morning at best. Don't you realize there's a blizzard out there? And she says, yes, but my house is flooding. And so she started calling plumbers, and all she got were answering machines. And she knew none of them were going to call her back in the middle of the night, and she didn't know what to do. And then the idea came in, and that blue light of the television came on. So she bucked up her courage and went over and knocked on the door. And who comes to the door? T-shirt with a Bud Light. But Mr. Noisy. And he says, Roberta, what are you doing out here at this kind of weather? First thing that she says, how did that guy know my name? And she said, I'm sorry to bother you, but I think I've had some kind of a burst pipe or something's wrong. My house is starting to flood. And he said, oh, okay. And before she could even say anything, he was pulling on his rubber boots. He shouted to these two teenage sons, grab the shovels out of the garage and meet me over at Roberta's. And they immediately took over there and they started shoveling that snow looking for the shutoff valve in the yard. And they shoveled for over an hour until finally one of the boys said, hey, Dad. And he came over and he had the right tool to shut off the water. And he came up and he says, oh, I'm so sorry, Roberta. He says, you know, you're not going to have any water tonight, but at least we got it stopped and it's not going to flood any of the rest of your house. And she said, oh, thank you so much. I don't mind the water at all. And she knew, I mean, she could see the dollar signs going by of what this was going to cost. And she just really thanked him, and he said, it's no problem. He said, boys and I will be over tomorrow morning. And she said, no, we better leave the water off at least for a couple weeks, you know, until my next paycheck comes. And he says, no, you're not going to go without water. He says, did you even know that's my business? That's what I do for a living? No, she didn't know that. He says, by the way, my name's Nick. Well, she said, thank you so much, Nick. And sure enough, the next morning, Nick and his boys are over there. And the boys are very polite. It's all, yes, ma'am, no, thank you, ma'am. You know, the boys were very polite. And Nick approached the concrete wall with the attention and the precision of a surgeon. And he broke through that wall. He got behind the concrete. He made the repairs. He did the things that he needed to do, and he got her water again. And she knew this was going to be expensive. But 2 weeks came and she was there with her paycheck. She was, you know, with her checkbook. She got her paycheck. She was ready to pay him off. And she, you know, asked him, okay, how much is this going to be? And she's thinking this was going to be, you know, $5,000, $7,000, maybe even $10,000. And he says, $500 ought to cover it. She says, that can't be right. No, he says, you're my neighbor. Neighbors do things for neighbors. Changed Roberta's attitude. She thanked him profusely. But from then on, when she made Christmas cookies, she made sure Nick and his boys got some. When things needed to be done, she was always there for Nick. They gave a summer barbecue. She was the first one to RSVP. Wasn't Nick that changed? Roberta changed because now she was looking at her neighbors through gratitude. One night she laid down to go to sleep, and sure enough, bang, bang, bang. Throw me a wrench. Vroom, vroom. And she just smiled. She was so grateful to have such wonderful neighbors. So the takeaway for today, conclusion. It's kind of a homework assignment, but every night before you go to sleep, take a few minutes to give thanks for some good in your life. Just take a few minutes to give thanks for some good in your life. And then when you wake up in the morning, remind yourself that I have the brush strokes of the great artist all over me. I am a masterpiece. And so it is with this awareness of our own inherent divinity and our gratitude to that indwelling God. And I ask my colleagues, the prayer practitioners, to join me in holding the congregation in love and light. And so in this moment, I just give thanks. I am so grateful. I am grateful for every person in this day who has stepped forth in service to our community in any way. I am grateful for my awareness of perfect health. Beyond the appearance of disease, I know that there is a blueprint, a pattern of perfection, which is perfect in every way. I am grateful for my awareness of the power and the presence of God's love in every situation, in every relationship, be they romantic, relationships at work, family relationships. It makes no difference because it's all God, God's love. And I give thanks for my awareness of all of the abundance in the universe, the abundance of the world. I give thanks for the abundance which is absolutely demonstrated this day in this very center as we go next door and stay here to celebrate this community by breaking bread and dining together. And so I now just give thanks for this food. I give thanks for all those that have contributed, those that have prepared it. I bless this food and I bless those who have made this day perfect in every way. I am so grateful. And now I just step back. I release these words, the working of a law that always responds yes. So I just give thanks. I let it go and now we step back and have a wonderful, wonderful day. And so it is. Yes.